This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello. Hello!
I'm Howard Dory.
I'm Jessica Dory.
And welcome to Plotting Through the President. This is our premiere episode with the Airwave Media Network.
Woohoo! It's been a big development.
Yes, and we are thrilled to be part of a network that has great shows like Ben Franklin's World, Southern Gothic, Queen's Podcast, and so many more.
This was a long time coming, and we're just so thrilled and excited to be part of this community.
Yes,
it's a
definitely.
New community.
And we're calling this season 5, but here's the plan.
Here's the plan. It's different.
No more seasons. No more long breaks. We are moving to an ongoing bi-weekly format where you'll get a new episode from us every 2 weeks.
Forever.
I wasn't going to use that word, but... If you are new to Plotting Through the President, let me tell you how it works. I find fascinating, lesser-known stories from the early United States, usually related to presidents and founders and their families.
And I guzzle wine. I'm just kidding, I don't.
Sometimes.
Sometimes I do.
I dive deep into those rabbit holes. And when I emerge, I bring these stories to Jess here, who happens to be my wife.
Whoops. Whoops. How did that happen? I like how you're doing the hand gestures of the rabbit burrowing. That's the one thing about being only audio that I feel like people are missing, because you really do. You just burrowed.
Yes.
With your hands, and then you came out into the light.
Yeah, like a rabbit being born with new knowledge.
Yes.
I bring those stories to you, Jess.
That's me.
And you have no idea what the stories are going to be ahead of time, so your reactions are real.
Yes, this is true. My reactions are real, because I am not privy to these stories ahead of time, and it's actually sometimes a problem in our marriage. Because I want to know what he's reading, and I want to know what he's writing about, and, you know, we connect on that level in many ways, especially in the past, but now it's top secret, and I find out when I find out.
You find out when you find out.
Yeah.
So me bringing you stories, that's how most episodes work.
Does this episode work where I bring you a story?
That'd be something to have told you ahead of time.
Yeah, I think so.
No, today, though, I'm not bringing you a story. Not this time. This time, I'm going to change your life.
Oh, you already have in so many ways.
I'm offering you a new lifestyle. I call it the John Adams diet.
Oh, geez. I think I've already hit that.
Oh, no,
I think
no.
I'm already on it, hon.
Now.
Like red meat only?
Oh, you just wait.
High carb potato, red meat.
This is going to blow your
mind. I think
I'm
there.
I don't.
Okay.
Whatever you think you know.
I don't.
You have no idea.
You ignorant.
So John Adams, he went from being a simple country lawyer in New England to becoming the second president of the United States. He was self-aware enough to call himself obnoxious and disliked. But he was loud and proud and fought harder for American independence than maybe anyone outside of the military. All right, so this is more than a diet. It's a way of life. Let me ask you some questions.
I'm scared.
Do you want to live to be 90 years old with some of your faculties intact?
Yes. If with faculties
yes.
intact,
all right.
I do, and I want to live happily and healthily at that age.
Do you want that husky John Adams bod?
As long as it's husky, yes.
How do you think he got those smoke show calves?
Smoke show calves?
Look at John Trumbull's painting of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Do you have a $2 bill on you?
I do have a $2 bill.
You do? On you?
No.
I didn't think so. Okay. How dare you? Okay, I will show you then what I'm talking about. You might need to zoom into this. That's John Adams there in the center.
Yeah.
Look at those legs.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean,
there's some muscles in those socks.
There are some muscles in them socks. Yes. You might look at this picture and wonder, why? Why is he the only one who's shown in full body with his legs all sexy? And I'm just saying that there was a reason. In 1828, this painting was put in the Capitol Rotunda, and John Randolph of Roanoke called it the shin piece, for surely never was there before such a collection of legs submitted to the eyes of man. But there's only one
other guy.
I know there's only one other guy whose calves are displayed, and that's Richard Henry Lee, sitting there with his legs crossed.
Yeah.
But that's how powerful John Adams' legs were. They leave the impression that that's a lot of legs.
Yeah, the one that has all the muscle isn't even flexed.
Yes. So the John Adams diet is going to help you get those calves. Maybe in part because calves are stronger when they need to support more weight. I don't know.
Or they're stronger when the painter doesn't understand anatomy.
Oh, I think the painter understood a lot of things. Are you ready for a change?
Absolutely.
All right, then throw out all the health and diet advice that you've ever heard.
I think I've gotten some pretty strange diet advice over the years.
Throw it out.
Okay.
Because the John Adams diet is the only diet you need.
All right, that's good to know.
This man lived to be 90 years old in 1826.
That's impressive.
Adjusted for inflation, that's almost 3,000 years old today.
That can't be.
I did the math. So how did he do it? And how can you replicate his magic?
I don't know.
Simply, just follow these 10 simple principles. Are you ready to take this journey with me?
Yeah, I can't wait to hear the principles.
All right.
Bring on the principles.
Number one, chocolate for breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've done it.
In his later years, John Adams ate chocolate for breakfast daily. And if it was good enough for him, I think it's good enough for you.
If our son, you know, heard this, he'd be all for it.
Yes.
Cinnamon toast with chocolate every morning, please.
What's the worst that could happen?
Diabetes. Maybe.
Now, the haters might say, but John Adams lost all his teeth. And that's true.
Well, so did they. Didn't they all lose their teeth?
No. Curiously, around the same time, Thomas Jefferson could brag that he never lost a tooth. John Adams lost all his teeth. So he was toothless at the end of his life. That's true. But thankfully, chocolate melts in your mouth.
Mm.
Where we're going, we don't need teeth.
Got it. So, you know, I want chocolate. I do some DoorDash or I go down to the supermarket and pick up some chocolate or, you know, I go trick-or-treating. How did he get his hands on chocolate?
I think it was probably sent to him in the mail somehow.
From a different country? Was it imported directly to Adams?
I don't know. That's a great question. I think chocolate back then was probably remarkably different in the sugar content and things like that. But it's
probably pretty bitter.
It might have been.
Yeah. I just wanted to know, just in case I'm ever transported back to that time, how to get my hands on some chocolate.
And I'm not 100% sure whether he's referring to like solid chocolate or some sort of
truffles?
Like hot chocolate drink. Yeah. That he would probably sip from a saucer.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. By the way, this information about his chocolate breakfast and many of the foundations of the John Adams diet, it comes from a letter that he wrote in 1819 to a doctor. This doctor, his name was Vine Utley, and Vine Utley had written a book called Observations on Old People, 80 Years of Age. Riveting stuff, I'm sure.
Wow.
He'd reached out to founders like Adams and Jefferson and Benjamin Rush, and he asked them about their physical habits. And he sort of pressured them to write him back before they died. And Adams did, because one of his favorite subjects to talk about was himself. One of my favorite things about the letter is, at the end, he wrote, P.S. If you should desire it, and I should be alive and have nothing more important to do, I will give you a more ample detail of my physical history.
Did he ever come to that point where he gave ample detail?
Well, a year later, finally, the guy did write back and be like, oh yeah, tell me more. But I guess Adams had something better to do because
like,
he never wrote back.
I don't have the time. Okay.
But still, as far as like postscripts to a letter go, I can't imagine a less enthusiastic sentence written about a less exciting topic, but I love it. Now.
Of course you do.
The second principle in the John Adams diet. Are you ready to move on to the next level?
Me?
Yes.
I'm ready.
Okay. Number two. drink hard cider every day.
Is that like straight up liquor?
It is alcoholic. It's like apple cider,
but hard.
Yeah, it's got alcohol in it. Not a high alcohol content.
Okay.
But Adams loved cider. He drank it every day for most of his life. He thought it helped people live longer. And he thought it was much healthier than wine and beer and hard alcohol. One of his biggest complaints when he was in France and England was that he couldn't get any cider there. He was forced to drink all this wine. He really preferred cider.
That's how I feel in Europe, where they have no ice.
Yeah.
When I come home to the States, I fill up my glass with ice and I drink the coldest glacier water ever. So I understand missing a certain liquid.
Yeah.
A certain type of liquid when you're traveling.
To give you an idea of how much he loved cider, before he married Abigail, he wrote that you could take politics away. He didn't need it. Just give me bacon and cider and books and girl and friend.
Girl.
And I will frisk it.
Frisk it. I am so confused.
Frisk it good.
Frisk the girl?
I think he'll frisk it all. I think it's his way of saying he'll take it. He'll be fine.
Okay.
Or he'll pat
just
it down.
Girl. Any girl.
Any girl. Any girl.
Not necessarily his wife. Just any bring book, me girl. And
bring girl.
Bring me girl.
Friend. Cider.
Just girl.
Book. Bacon.
Chocolate. And girl.
Yes. He wasn't picky.
Wow.
At this point, he was engaged to Abigail, and he was looking forward to the wedding. So maybe he was thinking about her.
Just the girl.
Just, yeah, that
the
girl.
The girl.
Or any girl. I don't know. I really don't.
Bring me girl.
Yes. So, but girl and cider were on the same level.
Okay.
Along with book.
Book.
That's how important cider was.
Book and cider.
Yes.
And girl.
Yes. So yeah, a little chocolate, some hard cider. It's the right way to start your day. And it's gluten-free. So there's no reason not to frisk it.
Okay. Frisk it good.
Yeah.
I'll frisk it.
Do it.
Bring me boy.
Now, the next principle, it might be difficult for some folks, but it's hard to argue with the health benefits. The third principle of the John Adams diet is eat a mostly vegetarian diet.
Okay. There's something to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you can still eat meat, just not a lot. For 60 years, John Adams followed the vegetable diet, he called it, using very little meat.
And how did he get his protein?
Through his protein, certain vegetables? There was some meat that he would eat. Oh. But meat back then was almost more like condiments and stuff to the meal. Like, it wasn't the main course so much.
Interesting.
Especially red meat.
Yeah. So what was the main course?
Vegetables, things you could grow. And there were potatoes, there were artichokes, there were, you know, your basic vegetables, which, you know, it's hard for me to think of any vegetables off the top of my head, but I know they exist. Green.
They're crunchy sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. But this idea was actually pretty common back then. Mm-hmm. Mass consumption of meat was looked at as like excessive and gluttonous and extravagant, like the British monarchy.
What would they think of us today?
They would probably be shocked in a lot of ways.
Right. But in that way, too.
In that way, definitely. Yeah, I think so.
It's strange that we're doing this particular episode about having chocolate for breakfast when simultaneously my mother was on a podcast about intermittent fasting.
Right, yeah.
So polar.
Don't have breakfast at all.
Right. Don't eat.
Don't eat. Yeah.
What podcast was she on? Maybe we should call that out.
I don't know. We can put it in the show notes or something because I don't know offhand what it was.
All right. I could text
but it's a big one. It's a big intermittent fasting podcast.
There's a movement.
Yeah. Doctors at the time were highly recommending a mostly vegetarian diet back then.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like the 1810s, the 1820s. But when you compare that to 60 years later, when James Garfield was dying, our guest, Tegan Kehoe, in a previous episode, she brought this up. After Garfield was shot, and as he was slowly dying, his doctors thought the best thing for him would be whiskey and beef bouillon. So they put both those things up his butt.
Ew.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like we talk about Tegan every episode. Yeah. She comes up somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't be fed up your butt, right?
No.
There's no reverse digestive system. It doesn't work in reverse like that.
Well, I think it actually kind of does, but it's not necessarily the healthiest alternative.
No, I don't think it does.
I think that you can get nutrients that way.
I mean, very little, because you're not actually absorbing them that way.
I think they might get to the stomach.
So beef bouillon and cider, did you say?
No, whiskey.
Whiskey.
Yeah.
At the butt? Oh my gosh, did it kill off all his like good gut bacteria? It's
like, no, it wrecked him.
Okay. Stop it with your bad self.
Sorry.
Jeez.
So 1810s, eat your vegetables, drink a ton of milk, maybe a glass of wine a day. 1880s, hard pivot to hooch and meat juice suppositories.
Wow.
Quite a swing of the pendulum there. But that's not the John Adams diet. You can still have a little meat and a good amount of fish, but lay off the hard liquor. And remember, veggies are the star of the show. All
okay.
right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Although sometimes your body needs to keep it simple. And that's when it's time for the next principle.
Beef bouillon up the butt.
No. Number 4, if you're not feeling well, eat like a prisoner.
Mm.
Yeah. So when you're having tummy troubles or you're sick or you need a cleanse, this was John Adams' advice to his grandson, George. He said, "I am sorry to hear you complaining so often of ill health. I advise you to live upon bread and water." That might sound bad, right? Might sound boring.
For sure.
Yes. But listen to this next part. "To make this diet luxury, I allow you to put a piece of toasted bread into the water."
Oh, dip it.
Yeah.
Dip it good. When I was having tummy troubles back when I was pregnant with our first, the GI doctor said, "Please just spend the next week eating rice."
Yeah.
And I said, "What now?" And he said, "Just white rice." And I did. And then I was better.
Yeah, it's all about removing anything that could be upsetting you, getting down to basics.
It's like a cleanse.
Exactly. So there was some science and thought behind what John Adams was recommending. And some luxury when you get to dip that toast.
Soggy bread might be the most disgusting food to me.
See, I mean, an Italian beef sandwich that's just like dripping wet and so soft
that's
is
gross.
The best to me.
No, I don't want any sogginess in my bread.
All right, fair
Which
enough.
Which is why gluten-free bread is difficult sometimes, because it does break apart.
It is
really
made of
easily.
Sand.
It's made of sand.
Yeah. So Adams thought that this deprivation, he told George that these are the benefits, okay? "With this regimen, your head will always be clear, your stomach light, your temper serene, and your whole body free from pain. And you will make more improvement in science and literature in one day than you can in a week." And he said, "If you eat meat, drink wine, and smoke cigars, you will never be well unless you ride 10 miles a day or walk a mile." And then he said, "If young men will not learn the necessity of living upon a cooling diet, if they study, they must die. I suppose you will say, as most young men do, 'I'd rather die.' But if you are so determined, do not blame your affectionate grandfather."
Okay.
Yeah.
It's definitely not the kind of advice I got from my grandparents.
Maybe not, no. Now, I don't know if George took any of that advice, but I do know that 5 years later, George threw himself off a boat and died. But I don't blame his affectionate grandfather.
Oh, geez.
But who knows how things might have been different if he'd adopted that luxurious diet of dripping wet toast.
Maybe he did.
Maybe that's what did it.
It's like life isn't worth living anymore with this soggy bread.
Maybe.
That's really sad.
Yeah.
He threw himself
off a boat.
He died by suicide.
Yeah, we talked about this in the episode about Mary Helen.
Yeah, I do remember this.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
It is very sad. I don't think it had to do with this diet.
Okay.
For the record.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Yes. You still on board with your new lifestyle here?
I'm having some doubts.
Oh, I'm sorry. I signed you up.
I do like the keeping simple.
It is a lifetime commitment.
1 week of soggy bread for you.
Yes.
Yeah, no thank you, but it does make me feel like I need more chocolate in my life.
Great. The next tenet of the John Adams diet might not be so easy. Number 5, wake up at 4 a.m.
That's not going to work for me. I like the idea of the morning miracle. The morning.
Yeah, yeah.
The morning time is very peaceful, but you have to get the rest of your life in order for that to work.
Mm.
Like, you have to go to bed early. You have to not have a lot of stress, because that sleep needs to happen somehow. Yeah.
I know it sounds early, but you've signed up for the John Adams diet. There's no backing out now. Fortunately, you can combine this 4 a.m. wake up with the next tenet.
Okay.
Number 6, get as much sleep as you need.
That's great.
Yeah. He said he woke up at 4 a.m., but he also said that he got as much sleep every day as he needed.
So he took naps?
I guess.
On his horse while riding to Congress?
I don't know. This was later. He wasn't riding anywhere much.
Okay.
But it's nice. I guess you wake up at 4 a.m., you have your chocolate and your hard cider, and then you can
fall asleep
as much as you like, wherever and whenever.
So mid-conversation on a couch.
Probably.
That's probably what senile John Adams was doing.
He was certainly that guy, for sure. All right.
But I'm all for naps. Take a nap.
Yeah.
I'd like to take a nap after this.
All right. You know, maybe during. We'll see.
Getting there.
All right. The next one. Number 7.
How many are there?
Here we go. 45. No, there are 10 tenets and a couple bonuses.
Okay.
Number 7.
Bonus tenets?
Yeah.
So he made this list, or you did?
Oh, I made this list based on his life and his reports of his physical activities and diet.
Got it.
Yes. Number 7, be a little fat.
Check.
Look, we all know that John Adams had the ultimate dad bod. That's why they called him Daddy Vice when he was vice president. Wait, no, I'm sorry. Oh, no, he was called that, but not because of his weight. His weight is why they called him his rotundity behind his back.
Rotundity.
But he wasn't obese, and I don't think it affected his health or his longevity, and he even joked about it. Although I'm not quite sure what he meant in this one joke he made, and it's driving me nuts.
Okay. I doubt I can help, but bring it on me.
200 years ago, to this very day that we're recording this, actually, he signed off a letter to Thomas Jefferson by saying, in his 89th year, still too fat to last much longer, John Adams. At least that's what Adams's copy of the letter says, according to the National Archives transcripts.
Too fat to last much longer.
Yeah.
Maybe he's tired.
Maybe.
Fat and tired.
But then the version of that letter that went to Jefferson said something slightly different. It said, in his 89th year, still has fat to last much longer.
Mm, that makes more sense.
I guess. I mean, the point is still there, that he's making a self-deprecating joke about being old and fat.
Mm-hmm.
But
he says, I have some life in me still, because I've got fat in my bones.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the other one. Like, I don't know if he's saying he's too fat to live or too fat to die.
I think he's saying, I'm a chunky monkey and therefore I can still live longer.
Maybe.
That's what I think he's saying.
But the most cited version of it is him saying he's still too fat to last much longer.
But he's lasted so long already.
I know.
And the whole word still, I'm still not last long. It doesn't make sense that way.
Okay.
But it sounds like a tired statement.
It does. Yeah.
He sounds like he's tired.
He was tired. Yeah.
For sure.
So I don't know if this is the best diet for energy necessarily, but you got some longevity. So that's important.
Nice.
But the point is, if you want to live like John Adams, you don't have to be in perfect shape. Because as Garfield taught me, the cat, not the president, round is a shape.
Nice.
Now, the next tenet is possibly the most obvious and best advice that you can take.
From him or in life in general?
From him. And basically it's...
Love yourself?
No. No.
You're like, that's sweet. No.
Number 9 is walk every day.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Even toward the end, when he said that his head was too unsteady for horseback riding, he walked 2 or 3 miles a day.
Wow.
And his shoes couldn't have been as comfortable as shoes now.
No. I mean, there were heels on them and everything.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's possible.
So I'm not a doctor.
On cobblestone or on rocks, even.
Maybe rocks, yeah. Maybe jagged
dirt,
magma, lava.
And heels.
Who knows what the earth looked like back then?
Yeah. Dinosaur land.
Yes. He was walking over dinosaurs.
Dinosaur fossils and rocks and dirt and heels.
Everywhere.
For 3 miles.
Yeah.
But that's really good advice.
It is. It is. Now, I'm not a doctor. You're not a doctor. Nothing we say should be taken as medical advice. We're all just having fun here. But that said, if you walk 2 or 3 miles every day,
it can't hurt.
You can have some chocolate for breakfast. You know?
You've earned your chocolate.
Yes. And that's the crux of the John Adams diet right there.
I just feel like there's so many toxic things about this.
About what?
About our, like, the way we're looking at food and joking about it, even in this lighthearted way.
Oh, well, I mean,
you shouldn't have to earn your food. You should enjoy your chocolate whenever the F you want. And you should enjoy food and enjoy who you are and walk 3 miles a day. That's
yes.
Just good for not only your weight and health, but I just feel like peace of mind and your sensory systems and your mental health too.
No, that is a good healthy attitude to not think like this thing I'm doing is bad, so I have to offset it by doing a good thing so I don't feel guilty. It's about balance and doing things that make you feel
absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely. And I mean this list has quite a bit of
excellent advice.
excellent yeah. advice and not
Thank you.
But it's what am I trying to say? This list is playful, you know?
Yeah.
Even John Adams, the way he looked at food and stuff. I mean, it does seem playful and not as toxic because he did enjoy what he wanted.
He did. Yes.
And he knew what felt good.
Yes. But still, I would say ask your doctor if the John Adams diet is right for you.
What was number 10? The walking?
That's number 9.
Oh, walking. That was number 9. Yep. So we haven't said number 10 yet.
No, number 10. This is one of the most important things, I think. And it's real. This isn't playful. This is great advice, I think. Have something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
This really speaks to John Adams' positivity.
Yeah.
And I know you're listening, you might be thinking, but he was grumpy and jealous and depressed and he hated so many people with a passion. And that's all true.
But he was passionate.
He was passionate. And he also had a remarkably positive outlook that let him enjoy the little things in life, like cattle shows coming to town or, you know, his books, of course.
Yeah.
He looked forward to things like visits from his family. He looked forward to letters from Thomas Jefferson.
But he's human.
Yes.
He needs some kind of, you know, meaningful activity in his life.
Absolutely.
Some occupation.
But it's important to think about what can that be, because they didn't have TV. So it's like,
gosh, you can't even imagine.
You got to fill in those gaps, you know, what goes in those holes. Yeah, he looked forward to those things. He communicated. He looked forward to letters from his daughter-in-law, Louisa, who he seemed to value even more than a son did. These things made life worth living.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, make plans, treat yourself. I'm not
treat
saying
others with respect.
I'm not saying don't live in the present. But whether it's your morning chocolate or the next season of Doctor Who, have something to look forward to.
Yeah, that's really important. Every day.
Yeah.
Do something every day that you look forward to.
Yeah.
That's a goal.
Every day,
sure.
Give yourself a little present. I think that's from Twin Peaks, but it's good advice.
And I don't even want to know.
No,
what
I think
that
it was
present
like,
is.
No, it was Kyle MacLachlan, like a nice hot cup of damn fine coffee. In Adams's case, he also looked forward to the afterlife. But the greatest terrestrial thing that he looked forward to at the end was making it to the 50th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Wow.
Which he did,
amazing.
Along with Jefferson. And not having anything more to look forward to, they both died that very same day on July 4th, 1826.
Amazing.
After living remarkable lives.
Mm-hmm.
We did a whole episode about that amazing coincidence and how it might have been helped along by drugs. But the power of the human will is a huge part of it.
Wow.
For me, it goes back to the idea of walking every day and how it's a little easier when you have a destination in mind.
Mm-hmm. Your destination is Starbucks.
Yes, chocolate. You know, an iced mocha counts as chocolate in the morning.
Yes, you drink chocolate.
I do. I don't mean to, and I shouldn't in this way. I don't. I think there are probably better ways to get my chocolate, but I'll have to think about that.
Yeah.
Now, there are two more bonus principles.
Okay.
They're more like life goals that can help you live the Adams way, but they can be a little harder to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is open your mind through
your butthole. Sorry.
How did you know? Yes. No. Yes.
Say it again. Sorry.
Oh, no. No, that's it. We're pivoting. Hard pivot.
Open your mind
through travel.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I can say that travel was good for John Adams' health, since the closest he ever came to death was when he was overseas, and without cider.
And without chocolate, perhaps.
No, they had the good stuff there. But travel was great for his mind. Mm-hmm. He traveled all through Europe, mostly in France and England, the Netherlands.
Oh, yeah, they had chocolate.
But also Spain. He dined across from Marie Antoinette. He and Thomas Jefferson stole a little piece of Shakespeare's chair. He'd always traveled the world through reading, and he continued to do that into his old age. And reading could be a tenet all its own. But through all his diplomatic assignments during and after the Revolution, he got to actually experience the world. The John Adams diet allows you to be a grumpy old curmudgeon, but you also have to be open to taking in the world and learning about other people's experiences.
This is like your manifesto.
Maybe, yes. This is my man. I'm going to move to a cabin outside of Quincy, Massachusetts. I'm going to write a manifesto.
You're going to be grumpy and old, but also open-minded.
Yes, I'm going to be so open-minded to learning about why I'm yelling at the people on my lawn. Yes. Yes. And sometimes those experiences for John only led to making his prejudices grow, but he was still learning, you know? He was intaking knowledge. The second and final bonus tenet, and this might be the most difficult, which is why it's a bonus.
Okay.
Is finding a good partner.
Oh, he did that.
He did that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I cried my eyes out when she died.
In the John Adams miniseries?
Yes. So. Thank you. That's the definition of finishing my thought right
yes,
there.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, that's I cried my eyes out.
Yeah.
I mean, not because it was well done, not just because that, but because they were the perfect partnership.
It's true. They really, I mean,
probably far from perfect.
They were perfect for each other, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you can't have John Adams without Abigail Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Her support, her counsel, her influence. It brought out the best in him, for the most part, it softened the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least it directed the worst privately and not publicly.
Right.
You know, she quenched the volcano. I don't know.
Quenched the volcano.
And that might be the part that I identify with the most.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, that and the chocolate. Yes, I would say.
Oh.
So let's summarize your new life plan here, okay?
Okay.
All you have to do to live to be fat, sassy, and 90 is wake up every day at 4 a.m., down enough chocolate and hard cider to keep you fat, and walk. Maybe to see a cool cow or something, but don't eat it.
Don't eat the cow.
And if you're lucky, travel with someone who makes you better. That's really the core of your new life. I'm so excited for you.
Why are you excited?
To be embarking on the John Adams diet. So do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, I at least know the principles that I could implement and that I'll think about implementing in my
life. Okay, great, great.
And then I know the ones that I can't implement.
Okay, well, we don't say can't. we say can't
not,
yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
I really love the travel.
Yes.
I love the importance of having a good partner and just being surrounded by good people.
Yeah.
I think leaving negative people behind became really easy. Once we had kids, you know, once we had kids and our time
because
was
because we
spent,
left everyone behind.
We were, you know, leaving negativity to the wind became easier. And I highly recommend that. And then I love the idea of doing something you look forward to every day.
Yeah.
There are definitely days that pass by where I didn't do anything I was looking forward to. And I think implementing that would be great.
Yeah. I think a lot of it, like walking, the traveling, it's the reading, it's about experiencing the world, consuming things, enjoying things,
fulfilling
having
your
things
soul
to look forward to. Yeah. Fill your soul.
Fill your bucket.
Fill your holes. however you want to take your food, you know, we don't.
In whatever orifice.
We don't judge.
I judge. I judge about orifices.
Which comes up so often in company. It's weird. It's like, oh, don't mention that around Jess. So judgy. If you want to know more about how the John Adams diet can change your life, go to johnadamsdiet.com. Hurry up while supplies last.
What?
Yes.
There's a website for this?
There's a website.
That's exciting. Are you creating it?
What? Who else would be creating it?
I don't know.
We have a web, the plodpod.com, plodding through the presidents, is our website. Now, johnadamsdiet.com is something that can change your life.
I'm apprehensive. But looking forward to checking that out.
Yeah, fear is the first stepping stone to change.
Okay.
Yeah. In our next episode, coming up in 2 weeks, we've got a very special guest. I'll be speaking with historian and author H.W. Brands about his new book, Founding Partisans, Hamilton, Madison, Jefferson, Adams, and the Brawling Birth of American Politics.
Wow.
The subject matter of this book is so far up my alley, it hurts.
It was written for you.
So join us next time. If you like what you heard, spread the word. Consider joining our Patreon community for bonus content, outtakes, and perks.
There was a lot of outtakes with this one, I think.
There might have been.
Howard's going to have to slice this all up.
Oh, yeah.
Get me out.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Cut her out of there.
We didn't have time for just this week. This has been an Airwave Media podcast. Thank you for plotting along
Thanks
with us.
Thanks for plotting. There's some muscles in those socks.